Glory to God. Hallelujah. So just stretch your faith this way. Father, we just worship You. We thank You, Lord, for these moments in Your Word. Your Word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light into our path. For by it, Lord, You've made us wiser than our enemies. And Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom, Your grace, most of all, for the outpouring of Your love. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I receive that grace now. The prayers of Your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. You got your sword. I don't know how far we'll get into this. I'm going to try to introduce it. Get into it a little bit. Hallelujah. Just turn to the Psalms. I can tell you that. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I've been going through the Psalms lately. It's amazing how many in the church are. Right now, I just want to, by the Holy Spirit, to begin to direct our attention to a particular subject that's strong in the heart of God, and I believe that we're feeling it. We're feeling it in our services. We're feeling it in that desire and creating a desire. Actually, I thought if I was going to name this anything, it was creating a desire for passion. It sounds like almost a redundancy. It's like, isn't desire and passion the same thing? But very seldom do I approach a message like this. A lot of times He'll have me exhorting. But this morning actually wants us to go through some scriptures together and look at some things as methodically as the Holy Spirit will allow. But the word desire means to wish for, long for, or to crave. To wish for, long for, or to crave. And of course, that's it's not an exhaustive definition, but those are the first parts of the definition when you look at Webster's dictionary. Passion, it's a powerful emotion or appetite. A powerful emotion or appetite such as love, joy, hatred, anger, or greed. A powerful emotion or appetite such as love, joy, hatred, anger, or greed. Now, I do want to say this. Your hunger, and however we use this as a play on words, and it's not to be just coy, cute, or whatever. It's actually to bring us to a realization of what the Holy Spirit wants to just kind of just stamp inside of you, just inevitably place down inside of you so strong that trials and tribulations, discussions, emotions can't root it out. The fact remains, the fact always has been, is that you'll only go as far into Christ as your passion dictates, as your desire dictates. And as I began to say, creating a desire, a hope for, something that you're wishing for or hoping for, leading up to this, a desire for a passion to know Christ. A passion. I know this, the prerequisite for revival is how hungry are you? Jesus, in His message in the Beatitudes, He said, "Blessed are they who hunger, for they shall be filled." Nobody, now make sure you understand this, no one ever was filled that wasn't hungry. You've got to have something inside of you that's burning a passion. God has given to us, the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit, a way for us. See, you're the keeper. You've got to understand this. You really, by His grace, He doesn't divorce Himself from it, but really you are the keeper of that passion. You'll only be as hungry as you ever allow yourself to be or create the desire in your spiritual palate for God. If you don't court Him, courting him, it's like an inertia. The more that you do it, the more you desire. That's why sometimes you can go in a large auditorium, you don't want to look, but you can just tell unless sometimes, not to stereotype, sometimes everybody is given, a bad hair day. Don't allow yourself to have it, but you'll find that you'll have an off day. But the worshipers identify themselves, because it doesn't start in the auditorium, or it doesn't start in a Wednesday or a Sunday or a Friday night. You are who you are by what you practice, and what you practice is what you court. What you court becomes a desire on the inside of you. You say, why are some Christians just so always full of God and going forward, and some are just on a melancholy, laid back? It's because of desire. It's because they learned a process that they could create a desire that would give itself over to a passion. And you've got to understand this, God doesn't do this for you. As long as you think, this is one of the deceptions that you need to get past, that God is going to create this desire inside of you. It's pregnated inside of you the moment you get born again, but the way you nurture it, the more you're around somebody that you appreciate, the more you want to be with them. My youngest can't wait. She's not being mean. I don't see her really jonesing up here, but she can't wait till this service is over to get in that little black car and go to Naples. And I hope that you're not in the parking lot when she goes that way, because she'll run you over. Because there's a young man down there that she sees about 7 days a week. And if there was 8 days, that she'd see him 8 days. Every day that she sees him, she wants to go back and see him again. Every day that you see God, and every day and every moment that you create a passion, you're creating a passion. See, one thing you need to understand, the intimacy that we're talking about and going to talk about this morning, and I don't know how far we'll get into it, but Psalms 42 here, verse 1, talks about David. This is why David was a man after God's own heart, is David not only loved God, he said, my soul panteth after you like a deer panteth for the water. I am so thirsty for you. This wasn't something that God just said, eeny, meeny, mighty, mo, David, I'm picking you to desire me. You create that desire. You go as far into God as you want to. Or you sit on the curb as much as you want to. Because, see, this is what you have to understand. The object lesson is this. It's not the moment that you're living in so much of the worship. It is. That's only one part of it. Whatever you receive at any given moment of worship, that's not really the object lesson, little grasshopper. The object lesson is this. The time that you spent in worship, whether privately or in here, it is always to create and stir and stimulate something inside of you to go on to the next level. So those who hang around a place where God's only mental, I worship you, and He never steps into the intimate place with them, that desire never gets stirred. But if they stay in there long enough, it's not the moment that's the most important, it's the creating of a desire. Because once you create a desire, you want more. Are you hearing me? You watch those little guys, the little ones that we just held up, the mothers, to start with, maybe they're feeding them bottle, breastfeeding them, they're feeding them little, Gerber cereal, but the day and hour that their palate begins to taste table food. I just love to watch them. The mother creates that. She'll take when they're real small and they can't digest it real good, she just take a little bit and candy used to on their tongue or the roof of their mouth, and they just, and it's just, they're drooling, it's coming all down. But they're loving it.
What is this? It's not cereal. It's not Gerber. It's mashed potatoes and gravy.
And the next time they're in that little high chair and they see their little legs are, woo! When they see those bowls sitting on the table and they don't want that other stuff anymore. Those little legs are just kicking underneath that high chair. Boy, they're just, those little fat little legs just going like this. I want more. I want more. You create. The mother creates. The worshiper creates. You're the one that creates it. You say, I don't know what I got out of worship today. What you're really trying to get out of worship at any given time is a desire for more. That's your object lesson. You want more of God because more brings you into more, and you keep going higher and higher and higher. And David got to a point where it fed him all the time. I am a firm believer that there is a point in Christ that once you see Him, you can't go back. And I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about you have that intimate place in Him. You can't go back. If you do, your spirit will, for lack of a better term, it'll aggravate you day and night to get back into the place where you once knew Him. The greatest security that you'll ever have in Christ is this, is that you create that desire. That you create that passion. David said here, we ask you to turn there, so we'll read it. Verse 1 of chapter 42, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. In contrast to that, look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, the full soul loatheth, say that one again, a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. I'll read it again. Loatheth. The full soul could care less, doesn't desire. It doesn't do anything. Even a honeycomb. But the hungry soul, every word to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. What is he saying here? Simply this. He's not talking about full, at least I'm not going to direct your attention this way, and I believe this is what he's saying. He's not saying, well, I'm full in Christ, so I don't need more. He's saying, look, no matter what is presented to you, when you're full of yourself, you're full of your emotions, you're full of your own thoughts, you're full of your own ambitions, you loatheth. You could care less. It doesn't matter. But to the hungry, you're hanging on every word that God says to you. Even stuff that you have to fight for that seems bitter, you're fighting for it because you're hungry for God. When people are not in that place where there's a passion and they don't understand that every moment they spend with God creates something that gives way to something else, if you're not courting Him, you'll have a hard time understanding why what is the big thing about worship. Why do people want to worship? Oh, wonderful. Thank you for the revelation. But you know how you'll treat God's revelation of intimacy? That's wonderful. Now, pass me the meat and potatoes. Give me something rich, Pastor. Knowing Him in intimacy is the greatest thing you'll ever know. In full-blown fellowship, going into a place, into that secret chamber with the Holy Spirit and letting Him fill you up into a place where He baptizes you and baptizes your senses. Otherwise, you'll loathsome or you'll care less. You'll have great, great things fed to you And presence will be all around you. The presence of God. And you'll be saying, wow, that's wonderful. When people are crying and they're immersed in presence and the glory of God, you'll be saying, oh, I love you. I worship you. I wonder if that's her real hair or if that's a weave. Man, Kenny didn't iron his shirt real good today. I don't know about that. What's... And the power of God just keeps coming and coming, and you're loathsome. It's like, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But to the hungry, everything is sweet to them. The desire of God is like, I got to have more. I got to have more. And the others are looking at like, my God, you make too much of a fuss over worship. Jump in here and find out why the waters are so sweet. Find out. Something that's created inside of you. The greatest thing that's created inside of you is a passion or a desire for more. And again, I say unto you, you are the steward of this. You're the one. You as an individual. Well, he's going to wake me up in the night and he's going to give me a vision and he's going to do... No. However close you get to God in this life, it's not based on your call. It's based on your desire to know Him more. Well, I don't really feel like it. Let me take and tell you that intimacy with God, worship, any moment that you spend outside of these corridors, that you lift your hands or you go down the road or you privately pray and you say, I worship you, I love you. Say, well, I don't know if I feel so much. What you're doing is... you're letting the Holy Spirit take the finger of God and dip it in and place intimacy inside of your spirit to create a desire for you to go further. Because otherwise you'll loathsome, you'll care less. Great revelation of intimacy and fellowship will be staring you right in the face and you'll say, that is so wonderful. And you know how many times you talk to somebody about God is so... oh, God, you're just crying and you're just feeling it so much and you're looking at them and they're saying, yeah, I know what you're talking about. And you know they don't know what you're talking about. Passion. What are we talking about right now? Passion. Passion drives you in a right way. Paul said, I press towards the mark. The word press in the Greek is the word persecute. It means I will destroy whatever gets in my way that is in competition with my intimacy with Jesus Christ. How did a man ever get to that place where he had that much tenacity to know God? It was developed. It's developed. It's nurtured. The more you desire Him, you'll find out the more you desire Him. And after a while, it begins to... I was talking about that with somebody this morning. After a while, it begins to captivate your whole life. After a while, you'll begin to think, God, am I normal? Why? Because all I want is more of you. See, I love still a lot of different things. I love going hunt with my dad. But you know what? I've got a lease down here I've had for 12 years. You know how many times I get to it now? Maybe once or twice a year. Nobody's standing and telling me, you know, you'd be more spiritual if you'd spend more time in the prayer closet. I do what I do because I love it. But you know what? When you get to intimate with Christ, anything that you do, anything that you do, it is filled with life. Anything that you allow yourself, it's filled with sweetness, goodness. Somebody was saying, I do this and I enjoy it, but and it's fine, but it's not like it doesn't turn me on. Listen, the desire for God is the only thing that will not ever let you down. The more that you get into it, the more that it'll feed you and the more it'll take you to a level that it'll fuel every part of your life. And you're talking about ambition. It goes way past ambition. It goes to a place where passion absolutely creates something that it is the world that you live in. Hallelujah. Jesus, come on somebody. You're in Proverbs. Turn to Song of Solomon for just a moment. Hallelujah. Next one over. Ecclesiastes, 8 chapters. Now, I'm not going to teach on this morning. And out of Song of Solomon, I just want to tell you this. The unequivocally, Old Testament, New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, the greatest example, that God the Father and Jesus Christ ever come up with on earth of what true passion was that denoted a spiritual passion was the passion between a man and a woman, or the intimacy between husband and wife. That's the greatest passion that God ever come up with. The Song of Solomon is 8 chapters. Some people wonder why it's in the Word of God. It is 8 chapters of a love affair between Jesus Christ and the church. It's a passion. It's a desire. It's beyond desire. It's a passion that's created by the Holy Spirit that God Himself, as you open yourself up to Him, only God can give you. Glory to God. Now, I'll say this. I'll stop for just a moment and say this. I'm sorry if you can't relate. I really am, you know. Some people say, I can't relate to a good father. That doesn't make your heavenly Father any less than who He is. Well, I had a bad marriage. I had 8 bad marriages. I'm sorry. The greatest passion that God ever could speak about is the purity between a husband and wife, that intimacy. Now, B105 gets theirs. The Holy Spirit needs to have His. This is 8 chapters of the most graphic, and I'm not going to go into it. Some of you that haven't read your Bible in 6 months are wanting to look at it right now. The most graphic, sexual, explicit things in the speaking of the intimacy between Jesus Christ and the church. It's a passion that's created. It's a desire. And as I said, I'm sorry if it's failed for you. I'm sorry if your mother taught you that it's, you know, ladies, I'm sorry if she taught you that it was only to be endured. It's a bad experience. It's wrong. I'm sorry if she taught you it was only for procreation. That's wrong. It's for procreation. It's for intimacy. Communion. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry to you, sir, if your dad taught you that it was for your self-indulgence and your gratification. If he taught you it was for to make you a man, I'm sorry. Let me go off on a little rabbit trail. This is a rabbit trail, but it's a good one. I've seen Christian men, none that I know of in here, but talk like, that's my daughter, or talk about her purity or her desire to be pure. But then when it comes to their boys, that's my football player. You, sir, are a hypocrite. Yes, sir. You teach that purity throughout. And the only reason why I throw that, we're talking about the home in here. If something happens, you forgive. Yes, sir. And you go on. Yes, sir. Okay, another rabbit trail. You know why sometimes parents can't forgive things? You know why they have such a hard time with them? It's not so much it breaks their heart. It's their own self-pride. Yes, sir. My God, that's some good preaching. Yes, it's pride. Your pride. You're not hurt for them. You're hurt for yourself. Somebody's going to see my image. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Whew. We've been doing some good teaching up in here, Holy Spirit. Ships have sailed. Wars have been fought over the love of a bride, a woman. Fortunes have been made to impress her. Solomon said in chapter 8, and this is all speaking of one thing, Christ's love for you. In chapter 8, he said, verse 6, he said, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, Sounds like God got a tattoo on his arm. For the love, for love. Now listen to his what he said. For love is strong as death. He's talking about the passion here. You'll die for it. Christ wants us to come to a place. As you read, it's an antiphonal. This is a song of Solomon, but it's a song that he's singing and she's singing. And he's got this beautiful bride. This beautiful, dark bride. And she sings to him and he sings to her. And this is Christ and the church. And he's saying, this is what kind of passion I want you to love me with. He said, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. For coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. And if a man would give his substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempted. Meaning this natural passion that he's speaking of, it goes to no end. You got to understand something. The passion that the Holy Spirit wants to create in this book here, which we don't have time and are not trying to go into today, there are different points. It's a beautiful book. Chapter 2, verse 5 says, the last stanza says, I think that's when she's singing to him. She says, I'm sick of love, not desiring love. I'm sick, the better translation, I'm sick because of love. They were love sick. Listen, Christ wants you to come to a place where you say, all I want to do is be in His presence. If you read Solomon, the Song of Solomon, some of you guys are looking at it like, man, I want to look at it this morning. The greatest temptation some of you are having is right now is wanting to read. You haven't read in 6 months. This is a passion. Another part in there, he says, or she says, she's looking for him all through the city. Watchmen, have you seen him? I'm looking for my lover. You're the one that creates the passion. If you want him, he'll come. And when he leaves you, he will have placed inside of you something that wants him more. And the next time he leaves you, you'll want him more. Until a place comes in your life that everything else circumvents around one place, and that's your love affair with Jesus Christ. Glory to God! 5 verse 8, she talks about, she says, that's for kids. That's for kids. I'm sorry, ma'am, if you can't relate to this. Sorry, sir, if you can't relate to it. But when it's at best, God had no other better way to say that this is a red hot love affair with Jesus Christ in the church. It's a place that the intimacy is a place, that bedroom experience is a place where the Holy Spirit wants you. You say, I don't believe. Where's that verse at? Chapter 3, verse 7 says, behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it. The valiant men of Israel. 70, that's 60. They all hold swords, being experts in war. Man, I wish we had an in-depth study on this, and I could just put it all into you. Every man has his sword upon his thigh because of the fear of the night. You know what he's really saying there? That these two are sick in love. I mean, they're giddy. You say, that's kid stuff. Listen, when's the last time, I don't care if you, I'm not talking about marriages now or intimacy in the natural. I'm talking about when have you been so high in Christ that the emotions, listen, God created your emotions to serve Him. We talk about the bad side of emotions. Emotions are supposed to be part of this intimacy. And when you go into that place, God begins to create those emotions so that something inside of you is pulled on. So that the next time, that no matter what is coming at your day, you say, the hurt that is around me does not equal the emotion and the experience of fellowship and intimacy that I had the last time I was with God. Well, that's good stuff. If it drowns it out and you go for weeks without prayer, it's because there's not that pleasure on the inside of you that says, it just feels so good. I don't care how much the hurt is around me. I can't wait to have one more 5-minute touch with Jesus Christ. He said, and I love this. I know this is what it's taught. He said, there's 70 valiant men. Now that sounds weird. Why would all these men drawn of swords or swords on their thigh, the best of the best fighters, he said, surround the bedroom of Solomon? You say, now does it really mean blah, blah, blah? Now listen, I'm not going to go into it. And this is very tactful. But these are 8 chapters of, you know, if men were asking me, they'd say, well, does it mean? Yes, it does mean what it says it means here. If you quench, well, sorry, it's the Word of God. And there's a lot of stuff I won't read that means just what you think it. Does it really? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And more. This is the passion of God. What he's saying is this. When he leads you into this passion, into this bedroom experience, the greatest place of affection and intimacy and fellowship that you'll ever have, this is what the circumference of that place is this. It is protected. It is covered by the mighty men of Solomon, which is none other than the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your covering in that place. The devil can't get into that place. 60 strong, powerful men stand with their backs to Solomon's bedroom. They're not in there, but they're surrounding it. They're giving place to an intimacy that's taking place in there, and you can't get in there. Flesh, you can't get in there. Satan, you can't get in there. Because something's going on in there that belongs to God, belongs to Jesus Christ, and the one who's having a desire with them. Hallelujah. Valiant men, men that will fight to the death, they surround that place. Glory be to God. The purity, the safest place that you'll ever know God in is that place of intimacy and fellowship. That's the place you can trust yourself the most. Otherwise, your judgment is covered by flesh and it's covered by emotions that control you. But in that place of intimacy, you're surrounded by a covering from God. Hallelujah to God. Glory to God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. You know why people don't seek Him more? You know why? You know why we don't? You know why I don't? Any of us? We don't see His worth. Now, I think some of you don't understand. We don't see His worth. It's shrouded by our mind. But the moment in intimacy you see how wonderful He really is, you'll give life and death to get to know Him some more. You will say, I love God. Listen, your call does not depict how much you love God. However much you love God all depends on you, not your call to service. Well, I was called from my mother's womb to have a love for God more than anybody. No, that's cultivated, that's created, that's nurtured. It's up to you. How many times will you go into the bedroom? How many times will you have intimacy with Christ and know that everything is between you and Him? And when you do, the reason why people don't pursue Him more with a passion, a red-hot passion, and other things are just as equally as important. Just as equally as important. Oh, no, I love Him above everything else. No, you are what you do, not what you say. Well, I just, I love him more than anything else in the world. But I can't make it to church, you know. Why? What? Well, we went to the flea market and we went to the beach and we barbecued. Well, you know what? You loved that more than you loved him. No, you're legalistic. No, you are what you do. But if the passion that you love him with drowns out everything else, glory to God. Jesus taught us, you're not what you say, you're what you do. Glory to God. You go into that experience, that intimacy. You say, well, can I come in there and worship with you, Pastor? Yeah, I will, if you need to be taught, I'll take a man in there sometimes with me and teach. But listen, you can't even, I can worship right alongside of Candy. I've got an easy chair that she can worship, I can worship, and I'll be crying sometimes. I know I'll look over there and she's crying. But my greatest experience is she don't get to come in there. I don't get to come in there. I'm talking about a place of intimacy, folks. I'm talking about a place, and you know where it crescendos? You know where that comes? It's a place of rapport. You haven't hit pay dirt until that intimacy keeps going higher and higher and higher, and that fellowship, I love you. And when, here's where it begins. Here's where it captivates you and places that place of want to come back for more, is when that rapport gets so strong that you start hearing his voice and he starts speaking to you. And he doesn't come to you talking like, Daniel, the apocalyptic, you know, 12 legions of angels are about to descend on your city, and I'm going to give you the names of all these angels. He comes to you and he starts talking to you in ways that she don't even know how to talk to me. My God, you know that much about me? And when you feel him speaking to you on the grassroots level of your life. See, worship is not you just saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. But it's also receiving his love back. And if you'll wait in the midst of that love, you'll hear him begin to speak to you. Well, I know he speaks to me in my worship about other people and how to correct them. Come on! Get a life! You self-induced prophet. He'll talk to you about you and you going to another place with him. I don't need you to talk to me about nothing if you're not worshiping. Because you don't even know him. You might be born again, but even if you have the truth, you're going to deliver it with a meanness. Meanness. I'm going to correct you. Yeah, and I can tell you like it too. You like telling me I'm going to hell. You like telling me I've got a fault in my life. You know what? When you know it's right, is that you're hurting so bad that you're begging God, please, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say it. Please, God, don't send me. That's intimacy. Rapport that creates something inside of you that says, God, I want more, is when you hear him. Listen, the grassroots of a revival are his intimate moments with you. It's not angels coming down. I don't. You know what? I know they're here. There's some few people in here with a true discernment of spirit. They see them. But as much as I pray, I have never seen one. And I tell you, I get a real problem with people that see them every day. And I was here, and I didn't. Paul didn't even see them every day like that. They have out-of-body experiences all the time. Now, he does give you powerful visions. Another rabbit trail. But it's good. Glory to God. Why you say that? Because what he wants to talk to you about is the most powerful thing when you go in there. I want to hear about what's about to happen to America. I want to hear about what's happened to Israel. I want to hear about what you meant by God so loved the world. What did you mean by that? I meant I loved you. And I wanted to have a relationship and a fellowship with you so that it began to dispel perfect love casts out all fear, so that I could send you into the worst of situations and you wouldn't break down under pressure, but you'd have such an agape coming out of you that you could say, blind, be healed. Sick, be healed. The Father wants to come and relish His love on you, and He wants to give you something that you cannot have any other way except a bedroom experience. And that doesn't come by just riding down the road, honk, honk, I love you, Jesus. It comes by a place of intimate fellowship where you know that you feel so guarded in that, that there are 60 mighty men around us guarding this place, and I'm in here. They can't, he can't, the devil, you can't get to me, devil. I'm on the inside. I'm fellowshipping with Him. It's the greatest feeling in the world. Hallelujah. There's an inoculation in there. While you're in there, your emotions get pickled. You start feeling like God. You're not Him, but you start feeling the emotions like you can come out and do whatever He tells you to do. But He's not the one that creates this. You take your finger, you dip it in, and you put it on the palate. You sit, and oh, He's going to come get me, and I'm wondering, why? What's the fuss about worship? This is broke. This watch is broke. It's broke. What is their problem? What is their problem? Here, taste this. That's pretty good. Would you like a little bit more? Yeah. I love you, Jesus. Wow. That just went all through my system. I felt a little bit of that anxiety leave. I didn't have to pop a pill for it. Here, take a little bit of this. I worship you. I worship you. Euphoria goes over you. My God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I feel your love. I worship you. I praise you. My God, I just felt anxiety. My joints are feeling better because the anxiety is going out of my body. Would you like a little bit more? Yeah, because I can feed you a little bit more. Oh, my God. I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you and glorify you. And it just creates another time. And then when all of hell hits, you know what brings you back? Not sheer determination. You know what brings me back every day? You know what brings me back every day? I got to admit, it's not the hardcore, I'm the pastor and I'm seeking revival. What brings me back is it creates a memory log on the inside of your spirit. I remember how wonderful those moments of that high that I spent with Him, where He brought me to a place of intimacy with Him. And I say, my God, this trial is worth getting past to get into another one of those experiences one more time. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah! Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Homer. Thank you, Homer. Would you just stand and lift your hands with me for a moment?